You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Hebrews 13, 1 through 9. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember then them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.
Okay. Well, I can remember in 2012, in August, when we came to Oklahoma, it was a hot, hot month. And I looked at Seppi and she looked at me and I said, is this typical? And we got to think, man, this place is pretty extreme. And yet these last months that have gone by, I was saying it's more like Kiwi weather, you know, this rain and sort of changeable weather, more like what we're used to. But the weather here can be quite changeable, and that makes it interesting. We're seeing all sorts of interesting birds come to the feeders, and hummingbirds. We've got now three hummingbird feeders, and we love to see them coming in. There's one on Reuben's room on the window there, and there's one on in the place where we have our dining, and there's one on the tree. And so we watch them coming in, hovering around and buzzing off and coming again. We really enjoy the birds. And so we're finding that the squirrel is also interested in the bird feed. So that's a bit of a problem. We're not sure what we'll do with him, but so far not too much of a problem. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again, Lord, for the time we've got with the weather here in Oklahoma, the rain which will nourish the ground. And Lord, we thank for the seasons, all that thou hast given us by grace. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, right. Part 16. Now, we have been looking at this study on the axe, but it's all about when and why. And the whole idea of this is what we sought out to do was we wanted to find out basically when and under what circumstances various epistles of Paul were written. And that's important because we understand what's going on in the Acts. So you have this teaching that goes on with the Acts. You can see what Paul and the other apostles say and what they do. There's various instances where they baptize. There's a rebaptism in the context. There's all sorts of interesting things that goes on. There are people who are speaking in tongues. There are great miracles that are going on in the book of Acts. And so, if we can find out during this time when various epistles were written, then we can understand more consistently the doctrine and the teaching that goes on. So, for example, we found that Galatians comes in real early and that Romans comes in real late. And what's interesting about that is if you look at the doctrine inside Romans, if we can be quite confident that Romans was the last of Paul's Acts epistles, and we find in Romans various doctrines that clearly do not happen and not a part of the age in which we live, then of course everything before then is naturally going to fit in with those doctrines which we find in Romans. But of course, if you want to go through Galatians, etc., in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and have a look what's written there, you'll find that, yes, the demonstration of the power of the Spirit, signs and wonders, etc., were going on during this time. And so that's kind of interesting. And that's important for our doctrine and our teaching to establish these things. Now, you'll find that some people who espouse the doctrines of right division, they will say, well, actually, we believe that Romans through Philemon, these epistles were all written to us in this age. And, of course, the very ideas that I'm presenting here contradict this. And what we see is that this kind of assumption that when Paul writes letters, that and therefore, because his name's on it, therefore his doctrine is about us in this age, just doesn't work, will not fit at all. And so we must rightly divide Paul's epistles. This is basically what we're about here. Now, there are some epistles that we've looked at in some details. We've looked, for example, at Hebrews last time, and we saw that we cannot be 100% confident that Paul wrote Hebrews. Very difficult to prove, 100% that Paul wrote Hebrews. And we discussed this and showed you some ideas associated with why perhaps Paul did not put his name as the first word on the front of this thing. And we discussed that, he was writing, in this case, to the Hebrews. If you look at this passage here in 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. In the context, that's the Jews of the dispersion, the diaspora. So there was certainly a epistle written by Paul to the Hebrews. And you might say, well, that's proof that he wrote Hebrews. No, it's not really, right? Because, he can write letters to all kinds of people. It doesn't mean to say that they're preserved for us in this particular day. And I've just shown you how this diaspora comes up here, the strangers scattered abroad. That's who Peter discussed and deliberate doctrines to. Notice here there's this neat word, kraton, the comparative, the better things. And we looked at Hebrews and saw that there were many better things. And why did we do this? Because we need to understand that while God does not in himself change in his attributes, God is God, how he deals with people can change. He will have his own goals that he's trying to reach, but his nature stays the same. He can have different goals, and therefore he can deliberate and give various doctrines at different times, diverse manners, speak in times past, and different ways. And the writer of the Hebrews talks about this. And there are these wonderful doctrines of better things. And if you're going to search for the better things, then you've got to be careful how you interpret the Bible by just stating glibly a statement like Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then take from that that God does not give you or give different people groups different doctrines and teachings. And then that's not going to work. That won't work. But yet you've probably had that, right? Have you ever had someone pull that out on you from Hebrews 13? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's supposed to answer these ideas that I'm giving you now. Which it does not. It does not. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. And one of the great things that comes up when you acknowledge that while God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus Christ is certainly God in the flesh, and now he appears before God, he changed his ministry by the resurrection. His ministry changed, and a better ministry came out of this in time. So these better things are things that we should stretch out for. And the Hebrews are supposed to stretch out for these better things. Are there better things for us to stretch out for and reach towards? I would like to say, yes, there are better things for us. The question is, what are these better things? Well, I'm just going through what we did last time and showing you how, you know, I think there's a good case to be given for Paul to be the writer to the Hebrews by looking at various parallel passages and ideas related to Christ, the mediator, the New Jerusalem, perfection, this idea of how a similar doctrine is brought up in Hebrews that, you know, you shouldn't be a baby. You should actually grow. And this is why I think it's very, very wrong that we see in some ministries where the people in the church are kept back from reaching out towards adulthood. They're kept back by just being fed milk all the time. And I think this is a big mistake that's made. And of course, the numbers are not proof that Paul wrote Hebrews. But if you remove Hebrews, you do kind of upset the numbers quite badly. Seven is obviously a very, very complete number. You have a look at Genesis. You look at the days of creation and then the seventh resting, that completion that's associated with it in Leviticus and Isaiah. Any kind of prophetical statement is related to seven. When you go to the book of Revelation, seven comes up over and over again. So to remove Hebrews from this, I think would be pretty serious in terms of destroying this great perfection in the numbers. Now today what I want to do is I want to look a little bit at the last chapter of Hebrews. And just to finish off, what small amount I want to give you from Hebrews. But so we're going to look at Hebrews 13. But before I do that, let's just remind ourselves of that doctrine of the better things. And in Hebrews 6, it says this. It says, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on. This is written to the Hebrews, but this just shows you that even though something is addressed to another people group, another group of believers, we can gain instruction from us because it's giving us the mind of God, that God wants us to grow, doesn't want us to remain babies, wants us to move on. And he says, principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. These are all good and right things, but it's time to move on. You know, time to get moving. Grow. And it says of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Just a little point here. Notice resurrection of the dead. Yeah, this is something that Mary would know about. Martha would know about. Those of the Old Testament economy would understand the resurrection of the dead and the last days. This is something that was understandable. But when Jesus came, he wanted to bring out that this resurrection from out of the dead, from out of the dead, where the dead would be left behind. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ had. He had an out resurrection. And he gave an example, which Paul magnifies in Philippians, showing that we have this opportunity of an out resurrection. See, that's part of the going on for us. Can you dig it, friends? See, this is important that we understand that we're not to be babies all our life. Now, babies are cute in their place, right? Gaga, googa. But there's got to be a time when, you know, you don't give them, you're not feeding slop to people all day long, you know? You're just spoon feeding this mash. Now, I was a pretty bad kid growing up because I used to like mash, you know? Mum, she would make these beautiful meals. You know, you're talking about a work of art. Plate. Potatoes in the right place. Meat cooked with gravy. Vegetable corner. Other bits and pieces on your plate, specially and properly put out, and it's presented to you. And then what do I do? Fork. not exactly, a welcoming sight for someone who's been laboring in the kitchen to produce this work of art, beautiful food, you know. So there is a time to grow up and appreciate the finer things of life. There are finer things in the Bible. There are better things in the Bible, man. God, in who He is changeless. His attributes and who He is as a being, He's reliable. That means He's going to get to these goals in all sorts of ways. You know, some of you are programmers to some degree, right? Some of you play around with computers and stuff. You might be interested in, say, various types of programming. There's a programming which has become quite popular over the years, and it's called OOP, Object-Oriented Programming. Object-Oriented Programming. And just to put it into a nutshell, basically what happens is you make up a function which is a constructor. A constructor function. And basically the idea of this function, what it does, is it does the heavy lifting, man. It goes out and it gets data or whatever you're interested in, and it creates this object which has basically all of the information in it, but it's not quite accessible as it is. It's an object which is loaded with information, but what it needs is it needs some method to operate on this information to get what we need, right? And so the constructor, what it does, it produces this object. And then what you do is you create these methods. Let's make this a bit bigger here. You create these methods that operate on this object to pull out what we want. Whatever you want. If you're doing some sort of analysis and statistics, you may be interested in the estimates of parameters. You know, all these estimates. All these kind of things. Well, that might be intelligible to you or not. The point is, God, He is constructing all sorts of things. But what we need is, we need some methods to get what is ours. The excellent things. And the excellent things are going to come through to us by rightly dividing the word of truth. And down here it says this. Look what it says, what the writer of this epistle says to the Hebrews in verse 3. He talks about, you know, not laying again the foundation, blah, blah. He says, and this will we do if God permit. If you go back to Numbers, you can see how Israel disobeyed this. You know, Israel, finally after being whacked on the backside and chastised, finally after doing all this, it says, oh yeah, we're sorry. No, too late. You're going to have to spend some time in the wilderness because you just didn't come to me when the time was right. You know, there are spiritual applications of that in our lives. There are times when things are just right for us. And we can sometimes walk by them and then the door will close. Right? Then the door closes, the opportunity stops. And we need to be spiritually aware for when things are available, man. And when they're available and your mind is right and your body is right, go for it, man. Go for it. He says this in verse 4, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Does that ever fit with our study in the book of Acts? They were partakers of the Holy Ghost in ways that we are not. Now, you can try and pretend that you are partakers of the Holy Ghost in exactly the same way as these people were. with angels appearing and busting you out of jail. When's the last time an angel busted you out of jail? Well, you weren't in jail. But maybe some of you were. I mean, you might get in jail for not wearing a mask or something. Have you seen what's going on with some of that stuff? People put in jail for not wearing a mask. Down in Dallas, they've got people from the Home Guard going around to shopping centers with vaccinations and putting people on the spot. Have you been vaccinated? I'm not saying they force them to be vaccinated, but they're put under some guilt if they're not, and, oh, we can fix it right now. Right? But the point is here that there was an opportunity in the book of Acts for these Hebrews to repent. But, uh-oh, you see, this opportunity would go by, right? And this will we do, if God permit, for it's impossible. Here's the explanation. If you didn't get this, if you didn't understand how the expression, if God permit, if you didn't get how that makes sense, you just need to read on. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, man. Powers. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with the Holy Spirit, because these are powers, man. There are powers here of the world to come, and they were obvious. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Oh, repentance. Yes, there'll come a time, if you keep going against me, that I'm going to shut you down. Okay? And I'll shut you down. And of course, we're interested when the shutting down happened. And what we've found is that AD 70 is the most likely time when this was shut down, when the temple was destroyed. So there's real clear application of this, you see. And if you try and take these things out of the context and put it on people in the wrong way without getting, you know, the spiritual application, as I have done, right? I've taken this, which has a specific application to the Hebrews, and then I've got an application from it. But the first thing I hope to do, is put it in context first, then get a spiritual application. Right? Going to go across to chapter 11, verse 1. Now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it gives you the great faith section, showing you how you've got examples of some people who didn't really start off too good, but then in the end they ran the race, man. They ran the race. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured in accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Better, better, better resurrection. Why? Because there are better things in the Bible, and there's a better resurrection in the Bible. Is there a better resurrection for us? Yes, there is a better resurrection for us in this age. Yes. See? Coming across to chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There they were. There's the example of this great cloud of witnesses, those who'd run the race, man. Now go across to chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why, Paul? I think it is Paul. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Ah, angels. Read Acts chapter 5. Read how Peter was busted out of jail. Angel, man. Angel comes. You say, oh, it's just figurative language. No. Come on. This was an angel, a real being from heaven's glory, came down to the earth, busted Peter out of jail. Now, if that's not wild, I don't know what wild is. You know what I'm saying? Truth, man, when you look at what's going on, is amazing. Now, I'm going to give a sermon one of these days, which is going to be on the things that I think are correct, but I can't prove. Now, that's going to be super, super wild, okay? But I'll make sure that you all understand that, right? This is not super, super wild. It's wild, and it's true. But what I want to do is I want to show you some of the possibilities for what's going on today, which is super, super wild. Things that we are measuring with our instruments and which are now hitting the news, almost like it's a matter of fact. Just like it's a matter of fact. What am I talking about? UFOs? You notice that, right? You do realize that there was a time when UFOs, if you ever even uttered the word with any kind of belief in the context, you were a nutter. You know what I'm saying? Now you might say, well, you still are. Well, the context is different because now we're getting the Air Force and the Army and the various forces around the world who are issuing photographic evidence which comes from jet fighter pilots who not only see with their eyes but measure them with their radar, etc. Why? Where do they come from? Okay, super, super weird, super, super unusual. I'll give you what I believe about them some stage in the future. For now, let's just move on. Okay, so that down here, it says, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I believe they're real angels, and it happened that angels can come to the earth. They can. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. Oh, that's a fantastic thing, isn't it? This empathy, understanding many people who are in jail for the word of God. All around the world is happening. In China, they're murdering these people. And I don't mean just Christians either. All sorts of different people that are being murdered and their organs being removed and harvested. Why? Because these are atheists, man. These are communists. They do have no respect for you. You're just a piece of biological garbage to be used and abused as they see fit. Now, why we even have any dealings with China, I have no idea. Yeah? None. We should have no dealings with them at all. And it goes on, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. This is a fantastic verse of empathy that we should have. But here's another little application. How about understanding Paul the prisoner? Do you empathize with that ministry that he took? Because Paul has a prison ministry, right? Here we have an Acts ministry going on, and we see a context here of Jew first, baptism, hope of Israel. But man, there's more information coming to us from Paul the prisoner. Or a man, gold. Arr, gold. And what we need is a method, man, to extract the information. Those methods are going to come from Paul the prisoner. Do you empathize with his ministry? Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Very practical, isn't it? Because obviously this is something that's been right through the ages, and it has been. It has always been there. Man and his sexual appetites, women and their sexual appetites, put in the wrong context, can bring about some of the worst perversion that you could ever imagine. And once it happens, it goes right through the society. Happened in Greece, happened in Babylon. Look at all the pagan religions down the tubes through this. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Ah, now this is part of God's changeable. You see, he will not change. He is always going to be there. He empathizes. We need to empathize too. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, this had very special circumstances in the book of Acts, in the way that God helped. Because at times, as they say, he would bust people out of jail with an angel. He would give people powers, the spirit of power. Remember them which have the rule over you, who hath spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You see, there were rulers given over these people. And these apostles and prophets had powers, man, and they need to respect these people. Now look in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This is timelessness. He is the I am. And while He Himself will not change, and He's dependable, the way in which He deals with people certainly does. I mean, look, just look at this passage here. I want to just emphasize this one. This is one of the better passages. The better ones. For the law made nothing perfect. Stop. The law made nothing perfect. Ho nomos. The law. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Whoa, wait a minute. That happened in time. But the bringing in. What do you mean the bringing in? That happened in time through Jesus Christ's work on the cross at Calvary. His resurrection and His ascension. He started up a new ministry. A better hope. By the which? By what? The which? This bringing in of a better hope, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Well, it looks like there's a change. What do you mean? You're going to quote this passage to me? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today forever? And tell me what that means is that God cannot change how He deals with people. Well, what on earth are you going to do with this passage then? There's a better hope. It happened in time. And it's by the which we draw nigh unto God. That's the Hebrews. How they would draw nigh unto God. Better. God can deal differently with people in time to achieve His goals. Now, He Himself is the great I Am. He doesn't change. Yeah, that's right. It's a cool passage, don't you think? As you come down in verse 9, it says, be not carried away, carried about with diverse and strange doctrine. Notice it says, carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Do you notice that a lot of the false doctrine comes in concerning foods and things drunk? And these are linked in with the law. Various perversions of the law. And people want to emulate these things and be a part of some physical process by which they feel that they are drawing nigh unto God, when the Bible has already given us this better way. And certainly the Hebrews were given this. Now you come down here a little bit further, down in verse 21. Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he carries on. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Now, this does not prove that this is Paul here, but it is consistent with Paul, right? Timothy. And in verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Ah, so we got where this here was most likely had to be written, from Italy and from Rome, most likely. So very interesting epistle. Very, very interesting from its doctrinal standpoint. It has exact meaning when you allow it to be an Acts epistle. Can you get further applications that we can learn from? I just gave you lots of them. Lots of applications we can take from it. But the first thing you must do is get its Acts context. That's where you ground your doctrine. And then after that, then sure, we can learn all kinds of spiritual applications without perverting the scripture. And that's the important thing. Well, I look at the time. Looks like we're out of time. Out of money for sure. But it's been a good time. Next time we meet, I'll probably wrap this whole thing up, and then we'll start a new series. Okay, and I'm thinking about what that series will be. I won't say for sure what it is. I've got a whole lot of different options for what the series will be. But there's some cool things in there. Rock and roll, friends. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today's message, Lord, from the book of Hebrews. And we ask, Lord, that we could learn from these things. Learn to rightly divide the word of truth, and then to run the race set before us, and to use our time wisely, take good advantage of what's set before us before that door and window closes. Pray for our nation, Lord. All around the world, so many people suffering now, and rights being removed. And Lord, we ask that we'd stand up for our rights, that these rights we find in the freedoms and liberty as a human being, Lord, that be given to us by God. We need to stand up for these, Lord. We pray for all those that are suffering around the world for all sorts of reasons. Lord, we ask that we would be each one empathetic to them and seek to help in any way we can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.